Welcome to the Josh Meister's Lost podcast, the audio version of the Josh Meister's Lost blog, which you can find at thelostmeister.blogspot.com. Hey everybody, this is the Josh Meister, and welcome to the Josh Meister's Lost podcast. We just got finished watching Season 6, Episode 12, Everybody Loves Hugo. And of course, the episode title is a reference to Season 2, Episode 4, Everybody Hates Hurley. And tonight, just for a few minutes, we've got Josh from the Lost Flashbacks called in. How's it going tonight?
Good.
Good. I know you can't stay for too long, so I wanted to see if I could kind of get your thoughts on the episode. What stood out to you? What were the biggest mysteries from the episode or the biggest revelations that you can recall?
Well, I really, really liked this episode a lot. I don't want to say it's my favorite of the season because people are going to yell at me and get upset, but I really loved it. I think it had so much stuff in it. You know, every minute it seemed like so much was happening, but by far, I think the biggest reveal or biggest thing from this episode for me is what seems to be a confirmation of what whispers actually are.
Right, true.
Question throughout the entire, since early in season one, we've been wondering what the whispers were. So,
you know, yeah, that's
an answer.
Right, okay, that's true. So we did get a big answer in this episode, true, on the whispers, and we'll talk about that a little bit more a little bit from now. So, and anything else that really stood out to you in the episode?
Well, like I said, there was so much, but I think what I really liked was, again, it's sort of pushing more towards what the Flash Sideways is actually are. We learned a lot more about them. Still, I'm not 100% sold on the love will, you know, save everything. I'm hoping that, like I said, you know, said last week, I'm hoping that it's more of a constant type thing, that, you know, maybe Hurley and Libby are you know, each other's constant, so on, so that kind of helps.
Yeah, that's interesting. And, yeah, I hadn't really even considered the idea that these people who are connecting in the alternate timeline and Flash Sideways, if maybe they're each other's constant, and that's going to help to kind of bring the universe together again. What did you make of Desmond at the end of the episode, you know, running into Locke in a wheelchair and doing this hit and run? I mean, like, how insane is that? Like, he's going and talking to other people and he just like runs him over. I mean, how did he know he wasn't going to kill him? And like, I don't know. What do you think Desmond is up to?
From that, the only thing I can think of, because Desmond's not insane, at least from what we've seen, and he's not an evil person. Only thing I can think of is that he was trying to give him, like, a near-death experience that, you know, he and Charlie had experienced.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, try to somehow get him to see into the other universe. But, you know, I don't know. I mean, you think it has anything to do with what was happening on the island?
Gosh, I don't know. It's so weird. Like, I was kind of thinking along the same lines as you, that he's just trying to get him to have a near-death experience. But, I mean, how does he know that that's not going to kill him? I mean, that's a pretty dangerous thing to do, just to run into somebody, you know, and keep going. Like, he ran into him, like, full speed. It wasn't just bumped into him and took off. I mean, he was going pretty fast when he ran into that wheelchair.
Also, I mean, he could easily end up in jail for this.
Oh, yeah. Well, I was thinking that, too. I'm like, gosh, he's a criminal now. I mean, is this his own car? Or, I mean, like, you know, he's going to have dents in his car from the wheelchair. You know, I mean, did he borrow this car or, you know, like, rent it? If he rented it, it's going to be under his name unless he's using a fake name. I'm like, how in the world, like, does he think he's going to get away with this? Like, the same thoughts are going through my head, too. I'm like, this is crazy. Like, what is going on with Desmond?
Yeah, and this isn't a problem with the episode, because it went in direction I thought was awesome, but where it blows up earlier in the episode. I thought it was funny how we know Richard can't die, so I don't know why he wasn't holding the dynamite. Like,
well,
if I'm Richard and I know I can't be hurt, I'd be like, hey, Alana, that's pretty dangerous. Why don't I hold that? I know I can't be blown up. Now, I you know, obviously they wanted it to go in that direction, which is why they didn't do that, but I'm like, come on, Richard, you're nice. A lot of people, I think, were happy that Alana did it.
Well, yeah, my wife was kind of one of them. She's like, yeah, she kind of bugged me. I'm like, oh, come on. I'm like, she just blew up. I mean, that was a total arsed moment, you know, like exactly the same. Like, oh, yeah, you know, we should be careful with dynamite. Boom. You know. Anyway, it was, to me, it was more more unexpected, though. I mean, it was definitely not... I didn't expect them to totally redo the whole Ars scene all over again, and I don't know.
Right. Well, exactly for that reason, that 4 seconds earlier, like, Hurley had said, hey, that's really unstable and dangerous. So, the last thing you think they're going to do is blow up. You're like, oh, well, they're not going to telegraph it like that. Oh, I guess...
Yeah, they've already done that, you know. But, yeah. So, that was a weird kind of shocking moment of the episode. So, I don't know. Anything else about the Flash sideways? I mean, what did you think of, like, Desmond and Libby connecting and things like that? I mean, sorry, not Desmond and Libby. Like, Hurley and Libby connecting. Actually, that would have been interesting, though, because Desmond and Libby had a connection we know in the original timeline. You know,
I'm a little disappointed they didn't go anywhere with that.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, Desmond just totally left it up to Hurley to kind of find the connection there. He's like, no, you need to go talk to Libby. But, yeah, I don't know. I mean, I guess Desmond didn't know Libby in the Flash sideways.
Yeah,
so
she gave him the boat. I mean, she meant so much to him. I guess they didn't want to waste time on it, but it would have been, you know, nice.
Well, would she have given him the boat in the alternate timeline, though? Because, I mean, he wasn't going to be racing around the world to prove to Charles Widmore what a man he was, because Charles Widmore loved him in the alternate, you know. So
Right. Maybe
they never met in that time, in that, you know, version of reality.
Yeah.
So
they would have met in the Flash sideways.
I'm just curious, like, what Desmond's plan is with all of this. I mean, I mentioned it last week, but, you know, Desmond is trying to get all of these people to have these experiences like he and Charlie have had. And, like, for what? I mean, what does he think he's going to accomplish with this? I mean, he had this conversation with Daniel Widmore, and now he's just kind of, I don't know, he's like... going all Rambo, but I mean, what does he think he's going to accomplish? Like, I don't know. It's weird.
And the thing about that, there doesn't seem to be enough time for him to visit all of these people.
Enough time before what? I mean, do you think something's going to happen?
Well, the series ends.
Oh, I get you. Yeah, I get what you mean. Yeah. There's not enough episodes.
You know, we were talking on my show that we really like where it's going. We just wish it would have started earlier, you know, this sort of journey of Desmond's. Like, it would have been cool if Desmond's episode was, like, episode 6 or something, and, like, the rest of the series, mm-hmm. I mean, obviously, it's not the direction they wanted to go in, but...
Right.
It would have been... Because now, I mean, you know, we'll find out, you know, in the coming weeks, but I don't know. I hope that they just don't try to wrap it up too quickly, you know?
Yeah. Well, it'll be interesting. There's not too many episodes left. I mean, we've got, let's see, this was episode 12, and we've got, I think, 18, counting the finale as 2 episodes. So, I mean, you know, there's very few episodes left. We've got 4 episodes prior to the finale, and then the finale, of course, which is going to be the typical kind of 2-part finale.
Then April 27th, I think they're taking a week off.
Right. Yeah, it's kind of weird because it's not. I don't know. It's like a week and a few days or something like that, because it ends on May 23rd. Of course, you know, 23 is one of the numbers. It's a Sunday, which is so weird because the episode prior to that, I think is going to be on May 11th. Is that right? And so then they skip over May 18th, which is a Tuesday, and then go to the 23rd, right?
Well, I think the new plan, and maybe I'm wrong, is that they're just going to skip April 27th. Like, there's going to be an episode next week, and then they're going to skip a week. And then it will all line up. So there won't be that 12-day wait. Finale, there'll be an episode on Tuesday, and then there'll be another episode that Sunday.
Oh, okay.
I realize that the Lost fans would lose their minds if there was 12 days in between the finales. Now, I mean, if there was almost 2 weeks in between episodes 6-16, 6-17.
Right, yeah, I get you. Yeah.
They're skipping now. I don't know why they... I guess ABC wanted it at that time for some reason.
Yeah, it's... Yeah, I don't get that. It's so weird. Like, why would they change the very last episode to a different day of the week? I don't know.
To avoid American Idol. A little weird to me.
Yeah, but that's never stopped them before. I just don't get it.
Right.
I don't know. It's
a lot of people are gonna watch it anyway, and I'm sure there's something on Sunday also. I mean, there's TV every day.
Right.
Oh well.
Yeah. Well, So anyway, well, thanks for hanging out. Any other thoughts on the episode? I know you got to get going.
Just like I said, there was so much going on in this episode, and the whole thing with Locke's reaction to Desmond was on island was so awesome. Desmond shows up, mm-hmm. and I love how he recognizes right away that Desmond's not really afraid of him, and he's like, "You know who I am?" He's like, "You're John Locke," and he's like,
"Yeah."
He brings him to that well, and we get a lot of information, and ahead of him mm-hmm. throws down the well. That whole thing just with those two was so awesome.
I totally predicted that whole, Desmond getting thrown into the well. As soon as, it's just the two of them all alone, and they're walking up to this well, I'm like, Desmond, don't you realize, this is a bad guy. He's going to probably try to get rid of you. He's probably intimidated by Desmond, because Desmond doesn't seem to be afraid. And so that's, the Man in Black solution is just chuck him in the well. Why he didn't, make sure he was dead? I don't know. What was the point of trapping him in the well? That's what I don't get. That just seemed weird.
It's all about, because we don't know if it's that location, I guess, but the frozen donkey wheel is down there somewhere, so maybe he...
Underneath the well, yeah.
And him to turn it and get him off the island. I don't think he's going to turn it now.
I kind of suspect not. It is interesting. Well, I don't know. I guess we will find out in a future episode whether Desmond survived the fall, but yeah. Anyway, I don't know. It's so weird. I don't know. The whole well thing. I don't think it was the same well, because the Man in Black went out of his way to mention that there were several of these wells that were dug all around the island because people were finding these various, magnetic anomalies in various places and all that kind of thing. So, I don't know.
Yeah.
I guess we'll see. Well, cool. Thanks, Josh, for hanging out with us, and we'll hopefully talk to you next week if you can make it.
Well, next week we're having a special thing with... I'm actually, for those that are, listen to my show as well, I'm actually going to visit Amanda.
Oh, awesome.
Like a little small Lost Flashbacks meetup for next week.
Cool.
We'll see what happens.
And where can people go if they want to find out more about your podcast, or do you want to plug your Twitter account or anything like that before you take off?
the best place is just the blog, and it's www.thelostflashbacks.com. blogspot.com.
Great. All right. Well, thanks again, Spivvy, Josh, for hanging out with us.
No problem, man. Have a great show.
All right. Thanks.
Bye.
All right. Bye. So I don't think we have anything else before we get started diving into the episode. So we've already kind of talked about some various parts of the episode, but now we'll kind of get into it more or less chronologically here. So we start out the episode with a 2004 Flash Sideways, and it's none other than the voice of Dr. Marvin Candle, it's Pierre Chang, and he we know from Sawyer's Flash Sideways that he works at the museum. Miles, it's Miles's dad. Miles knows his dad in the Flash Sideways. And, I think Charlotte said something about she works with Miles's dad at the museum or something like that. So, it was kind of cool to start up the episode. We actually hear his voice again, Francois Chau, the actor, and sure enough, we see him standing there on stage. He's giving this presentation about, what a great person Hugo Reyes is, and for spreading, Mr. Klux, across the globe, and for all of his philanthropic endeavors and so forth. So, the museum gives him the title of Man of the Year, and then as they're leaving, Hugo's mom tells him that she's going to hook him up on this blind date with somebody. And so we get to get to the island story. 2007 on the island, Hurley's putting fresh flower on Libby's grave, and he says aloud that talking to Libby, even though she's not there, he tells Libby it would be nice if she could visit him like the others who have died, have done. And Ilana walks up and she says that they're going to get dynamite to destroy the plane. Then Hurley hears the whispers, and then suddenly Michael appears. And it's one of those just like, wait a minute, hold on a sec. Okay, so the whispers and then Michael. So, you know, my thought at this point in the episode, of course, it's clarified later in the episode, but I'm thinking, like, what do the whispers mean? I mean, we've speculated about this for such a long time. You know, do they mean a dead person is nearby? I mean, we used to think it was associated with the others or perhaps a smoke monster, but now, you know, it's clear it's not the smoke monster, that Michael is not the smoke monster, because the smoke monster, the man in black, is stuck in the form of Locke right now. And, you know, so Michael can't be the smoke monster, and you know, it can't be an indication of the others being nearby. I mean, Michael's dead. He's not a living member of the others. So that didn't really make sense either. So I'm glad that they explained it later in the episode. Finally, we get to find out what the whispers are all about. But, so Hurley, Michael says, I'm here to stop you from getting everyone killed. And Hurley says, why should I trust you? You murdered Libby and Anna Lucia. But ultimately he decides to, you know, listen to Michael and, you know, to, stop everyone from, you know, going after the dynamite. Back to a Flash Sideways, Hurley or Hugo, I guess they don't really call him Hurley in the Flash Sideways, but Hugo is sitting down in a Mexican restaurant. He's waiting for his blind date to show. She never does. Libby comes up and sits down and introduces herself, and she says, Hugo, do you believe that two people can be connected like soulmates? You don't remember me, do you? And then the doctor from from Santa Rosa comes up and says, what are you doing, Elizabeth? And she says, he's an old friend. And he takes her, you know, the doctor takes her away. Hugo walks outside and he watches Libby enter a van that has, you know, Santa Rosa Mental Health Institute on the side. And so he knows that apparently she's crazy. 2007 on the island, Ilana accidentally detonates the dynamite and blows herself up totally a la, you know, Dr. Leslie Arst. And I mean, just, I mean, so many details of this, like, you know, there's rubble flying everywhere, potentially chunks of Ilana. I mean, it totally reminded me, you know, Hurley's on the ground and there's rubble falling on him. And it's just like, you know, I expected him to say, like, not really, but I kind of half expected him to say something like, dude, you've got Ilana on you or something, but thankfully he didn't. That would have been a little bit overkill. Meanwhile, the man in black says, you were only able to come back to this island because you all did it together. And so this is a little more clarification on why he needs all of the candidates to leave the island together. Apparently it's because they all came to the island together. I guess whenever they come to the island or leave, they need to do it together. All the candidates, I guess, who are alive need to be together, apparently. The man in black continues, we're waiting for your friends to get back, Kate. Hugo, Son, Jack. So those are the three that he was waiting for. And Kane, of course, points out in the chat that they can't leave yet because they don't have Jin. And that's a good point. As I mentioned before, I kind of think that's one of the big things that's standing in the way of the Man in Black's plan at this point, is that, you know, even if they've got everybody else, Widmore has Jin for the time being, and the Man in Black has no way to get to Jin as long as he stays behind the pylons. I suppose that the man in black could send people, to either disable the pylons or climb over them. You know, we know that that's certainly possible for a human to do, even though apparently the smoke monster, from what we've seen in seasons past, can't just fly over the pylons for some reason. But yeah, in any case, so Jin is, not able to go off the island at this point with the man in black and the others. Kane mentions that there's a possibility, of a trade-off, you know, Desmond for Jin. Yeah, the only thought about that I have is that Charles Widmore, I think, probably wouldn't allow that. Because I would guess that Charles probably knows about candidates. He probably knows that Quan, whether it's Sun or Jin, is a candidate. And I'm kind of guessing that Charles isn't going to be okay with that. However, you know, we don't really know the reason why Desmond was brought to the island. I mean, to me, it just, I don't know, it still blows my mind that Desmond is all, like, happy and easygoing when he walks off with Saeed after he just has killed, you know, Widmore's henchmen. And after he's just had this conversation with Charles Widmore about how he's all on his side and everything, and then he just walks off with Saeed, doesn't even, like, hardly bat an eye about it. It really makes me think that this whole going with Saeed or going, you know, to visit the Man in Black, I think that's part of Charles Widmore's plan. That's my suspicion anyway. What exactly the plan is after that, I have no idea what the heck Charles is thinking, but, I guess hopefully we'll find out. But yeah, that is an interesting point. I guess maybe if Charles Widmore thinks that Desmond is really important, and maybe he doesn't know so much about the candidates or who they are specifically. And so maybe he would be willing to make that trade. Good point about that. Let's see. So Saeed returns and takes the Man in Black to see what was on the sub. And of course, we know it's Desmond, who's tied to a tree. The Man in Black kind of tilts his head to the side and he kind of gives this odd smile. And, you know, I don't know. I wish I could get in his head at that moment. You know, it's like, what is he thinking? Like, what does he think the purpose was of bringing Desmond back to the island? And why is he kind of oddly, you know, happy about this in some way? Meanwhile, Hurley looks through Alana's stuff. I mean, she's dead now. Why not? Right. And included amongst her items is a book that's in Russian and, the bag of Jacob's remains, the ash. And so Hurley, it sort of looked like he took that with him. And I wonder if his plan maybe is to use that against the Man in Black somehow, like to, I don't know, dump the bag of ash on him and destroy him in some way. I don't have any idea what his thoughts are, but I did notice that it looked like he took that with him. So I guess we'll have to see what becomes of that. So far, I haven't been able to find a screenshot yet of the book. You know, I recall that it was in Russian, but unfortunately I don't read Russian, and so I wasn't able to take a note on what the title was. If anyone happens to have a screen cap of that and that they can share, that would be appreciated, of course. Okay. Next up, we have we're going back to the 2004 Flash Sideways, and Desmond shows up at a Mr. Cluck's, and Hurley's got a family-size bucket of chicken, and Desmond sits down and tells Hurley to give Libby a chance. Hugo tells his story about, you know, why he's depressed, why he's eating all this chicken. It's because he met this girl and she, you know, was great. And then it turned out she was crazy. And Desmond says, you know, to give Libby a chance, to explain how she thinks that she knew him. And then Desmond's order comes up and it's number 42, of course, one of the numbers. Back on the island in 2007, the Man in Black frees Desmond from the ropes that Saeed has used to tie him to the tree. And the Man in Black asks Desmond an interesting question. He says, "Do you know who I am?" Now, of course, if Desmond thought that it was Locke, you know, I don't know. That was kind of a weird question. It was almost like, do you know that I'm the smoke monster or do you think that I'm John Locke? But Desmond answers, "Of course, you're John Locke." So he answers that very quickly, and sort of the way that he answers it makes me wonder if he really believes that it's John Locke, because he didn't kind of make a funny face when he said, "Of course." It wasn't like, "Yeah, of course, you're John Locke." It was almost like there's the possibility. I mean, there's kind of a reasonable, I don't know, amount of suspicion that one could have that maybe he knows that it's not actually John Locke. Maybe Charles Widmore revealed this to him. And why wouldn't he have? I mean, if Desmond is somebody important to Charles Widmore's plan and Desmond is volunteering, you know, to be a part of whatever the plan is, it kind of makes me think that Charles might have told Desmond who Locke really is. But I don't know. Who knows? Meanwhile, Ben comments on Alana's death and wonders aloud about what will happen to the rest of them when the island is done with them. And of course, I don't know. I don't know if anyone else noticed this, but meanwhile, while Ben is having this conversation about their deaths and, you know, what's going to happen to them when the island's done with them, meanwhile, Jack is holding a shotgun over his shoulder that's almost directly pointed at Sun's head. I'm like, way to be careful with the guns there, Jack. But, yeah. All right. So, and then Hurley, shortly after that, detonates the Black Rock. He tells everyone to run, and of course, he's running away from the Black Rock. There's this gigantic fireball, and the Black Rock explodes. And, Hurley, you know, Richard asks Hurley, you know, what did you do that for? And Hurley says, I'm protecting us. And the ironic thing about that, of course, is that when there was this explosion, I mean, everybody was within the blast, you know, the radius of the shrapnel that's flying out of the ship. And I just thought, yeah, you know, for trying to protect them, I guess Hurley's kind of lucky that the shrapnel didn't impale them. And, you know, because that wouldn't have been a very good job of protecting them. All right. Anyway, enough of those sort of comments. Kate Jack, by the way, in the chat has a link to a screenshot of the book. It's from gallery.lust-media.com. And, unfortunately that still doesn't do me any good as far as translating it. but if anyone wants to take a look at that, of course, I'll have the, screenshot of that in the show notes. So thank you very much for that, Kate Jack. Getting back to the Flash Sideways in 2004, Hugo has gone to Santa Rosa. He's talking with his old doctor. It was his doctor in the original timeline. And the doctor says she has issues with reality. Hurley offers a donation of $100,000 to the hospital to be able to see Libby. And of course, the doctor agrees. Notably, there's no Leonard Sims at the Mental Health Institute. Of course, he was only there in the original timeline because the island existed beyond 1977. Since it is now underwater and was during the time when, in the original timeline, Leonard Sims would have been sailing near the island, he never heard the numbers. He never was driven crazy by them. And so there's no Leonard Sims, notably. But Libby is there. She walks out. She talks to Hugo about her memories of the original timeline on the island and in the mental hospital. And Libby tells Hugo that she's there voluntarily, so she can leave whenever she wants. So they decide to go out on a date. Back on the island in 2007, the Man in Black and Desmond see the boy in the jungle. It's the same boy again that we saw several episodes ago. And the Man in Black tells Desmond to ignore him. And he, once again, I had the distinct impression that this boy looks an awful lot like Jacob. I think that's absolutely who this boy is supposed to be, like a young Jacob. Now, how exactly there's this young version of Jacob that's running around the island? You got me. I don't know, but I'm convinced that boy has got to be Jacob. I don't know if anyone else has any thoughts or theories or disagrees with me on that. And if anyone in the chat has other ideas, you know, feel free to shout them out. But I think we're going to find out that boy is somehow Jacob in some form. Meanwhile, Hurley tries to convince the others to go talk to Locke, and he pretends that Jacob instructed him to say that. And of course, this leads me to wonder, you know, what Hurley's plan is. You know, why was he lying about this? Richard, of course, calls him out on it, and you know, he brings up, you know, Jacob told me a long time ago what the island is. You know, tell me, you know, if Jacob is really there, you know, have him tell you what the island is. And Hurley just kind of nonchalantly says, dude, I don't have to prove anything to you. Jack decides to follow along with Hurley's plan. And that's, it's kind of interesting because we find out later in the episode that Jack knew all along that Hurley was lying, about having received that information from Jacob, but he's trusting Hurley and, putting his faith in whatever Hurley's plan might be. Kane said in the chat, in agreement that the boy is definitely Jacob, and, says that someone pointed out previously, it's like the island is a genesis, so Jacob is being reborn. Oh, that's kind of interesting. Kind of, sort of reminds me of, a Star Trek movie, but yeah, Spockish, exactly. So as Richard is calling out Hurley for lying, he tries to convince the others that they still need to destroy the plane. Ben and Miles decide to go with Richard. Frank Lapidus shakes his head at Richard, and Jack says that he's going to go with Hurley to talk to Locke. Sun, meanwhile, I thought it was interesting that she didn't respond. Now we know that she understands English, but presumably, well, in fact, we find out a little bit later that she still can't speak it. But at least, I mean, she could have written a note, or stood up and gone with Richard if she wanted to. She can understand English, she can write English, but she can't speak it for some strange reason ever since she hit her head. So obviously by the fact that she didn't get up and go with Richard, she decided to follow Hurley's plan. After the commercial break, you know, Sun writes a note to Lapidus, did we make a mistake? And he says, probably, out loud. They hear the whispers again. Jack pulls out his gun, and Hurley says, wait, it's cool. I think I know what these things are. And Hurley, you know, walks a little ways into the jungle and talks to Michael. And he says, you're stuck on the island, aren't you? And he says, Michael answers, because of what I did, we're the ones who can't move on. So that's the explanation. Finally, we get the explanation for what the whispers are, or whose whispers they are. It's the people who have died. Well, now Michael didn't actually die on the island. He was, I guess, within the radius, I don't know, around the island where he was still, his spirit was still, I don't know, trapped there, I guess, because of what he's done. But, I guess the people who have done bad things or whatever, are apparently getting stuck on the island. Now, it's interesting too, because we also have other characters who are dead, who have visited Hurley, who did not die on the island. The one that anyway that I can think of course, is, Isabella, which, you know, of course was Richard's wife. And, you know, I don't know, that was sort of an interesting thing. Or Isabel? Anyway. Yeah, Isabel, I guess. And, she didn't die on the island. Of course, we didn't hear any whispers before she showed up either. We haven't heard whispers when Jacob shows up. Or did we? No, actually, maybe we did. Early in the season, I think we actually did. I'm trying to think. I know there was some sort of sounds that Hurley heard before Jacob showed up to talk to him, but I don't remember if it was just rustling or whether it was actually whispers. I'll have to go back and check that. But in any case, so apparently that's what the whispers mean. Now, here's another thing, though. I mean, we're going to have to really go back and analyze episodes that had whispers in them now and to try to figure things out, because there were whispers before Walt showed up, and Walt wasn't dead. He's still not dead. So I don't know what that was all about. Unless just the spirits of the island were also present when Walt somehow weirdly manifested himself. Harper Stanhope, Goodwin's wife, when she came out of the jungle, and I think she was talking to Juliet on one occasion, there were whispers right before Harper showed up. And so, I don't know, Harper obviously was alive at the time. So, you know, what was the deal with the whispers right then? Was that just sort of a thing to kind of freak out the audience? and nothing more than that, or to kind of throw us off the right track, or to make us think weird things about Harper. I mean, I don't know. There's so many instances, I think, of the whispers that are going to be really confusing now that we have an explanation to what the whispers are supposed to be. Yeah, and again, as Kane points out, at one point it seemed like maybe the whispers might have been associated with the smoke monster. Again, you know, that's apparently not the case with this episode. I kind of thought that for a brief second when we first heard the whispers and then Michael showed up. I'm like, well, could it be the smoke monster? But of course, you know, we know that the smoke monster is stuck in Locke's form right now. And Kane goes on, not sure about the whispers. I remember Saeed being, in the jungle by himself and he was surrounded by the whispers. So that's true too. And there have been a number of instances like that where there were just kind of unexplained whispers kind of in the middle of the jungle. So there is that. I guess I'm more interested in the instances of the whispers happening when somebody showed up afterward who wasn't dead. That's what's weird to me. So, Hurley then asks Michael, do you know where Locke is? And, Michael points and says there. Hurley says, thanks. Is there anything I can do to help you? He asks Michael. And Michael says, don't get yourself killed. And Hurley, if you ever do see Libby again, tell her I'm very sorry is what he says. And he seems genuine about it. So that's good. I guess Michael has finally repented and fully, you know, as much as he can anyway, for what he's done. And, so Hurley says, I'll be sure and do that, dude. 2004 Flash Sideways. Hurley is having a picnic on a beach with Libby and Libby kisses Hurley and he suddenly has flashes of remembrance of her. And meanwhile, Desmond is watching them and he smiles and he drives off. And, again, I don't know what Desmond thinks he's going to accomplish with all of these, making people make these connections, but, it's interesting. He's putting all these things in place. So 2007, the Man in Black takes Desmond to a well, and the Man in Black says that people, dug wells like this around the island to try to find out why their compass needles spun in when they came to those areas. And he says that, Charles Widmore, this is a quote, Charles Widmore is not interested in answers. He's only interested in power. And we've often kind of seen that from Charles Widmore, that he always seems to be making a power play. And, you know, even earlier in the season, when we first found out that it was Charles Widmore who was the person coming back to the island, presumably the same one that Jacob mentioned. Although, I guess Jacob could have been talking about Desmond for that matter. I hadn't really thought about that before, but, in any case, you know, Jacob says that someone is coming back to the island, and then Charles Widmore shows up. So it almost seems like Charles Widmore maybe is coming back to save the island, to, I don't know, protect the world from the smoke monster. I don't know. In any case, that's the Man in Black's opinion, or at least what he tells Desmond, is that he's not interested in answers, he's only interested in power. One more comment on the whispers from Kane. So are the whispers the ghosts trying to warn whoever at that specific time? Yeah, that, I suppose that could be the case. Maybe in instances where, like just before Shannon was shot, maybe some other weird moments like that. Maybe the people who were dead were trying to communicate some sort of a warning to the people who were alive. And that's why, the living people heard the whispers, because the dead were trying to communicate with them at that time, maybe as a warning or for some other reason. That's a good point about that. Okay, and then getting back to Desmond and the Man in Black's conversation, the Man in Black asks Desmond why he isn't afraid. And, you know, he says, you know, you're just here with me, we're all alone, you know, in the middle of the jungle, why aren't you afraid? And Desmond says to the Man in Black, what is the point in being afraid? So the Man in Black kind of makes a funny face, and he throws Desmond into the well, which, you know, again, I kind of saw that coming. I mean, they walk up to the well, they're all by themselves. The Man in Black obviously has some sort of agenda. It totally reminded me of the scene where, you know, Ben walks, Locke up to the pit with all of these dead Dharma Initiative bodies inside of it. You know, it was so, you know, parallel to that moment that I totally could see that something like this was going to happen. So I guess, you know, I guess we'll find out what happens to Desmond in that well. But a little while later, Hurley shows up at the camp. This is after the Man in Black returns to camp. Hurley shows up and he tells the Man in Black that the others are there and he'll bring all of them into the camp if the Man in Black gives his word that they won't do anything to hurt or kill his people. And so the Man in Black agrees, and Kate smiles, by the way, when she sees Jack. Jack, meanwhile, you know, there's this kind of stare down almost between Jack and the Man in Black. They're kind of, you know, staring at each other. And, it's kind of weird how the camera keeps cutting back and forth. And Locke kind of has this a wicked looking smile. So the Man in Black finally is getting what he wants. He's not only got, Hurley, but he's also got Sun and Jack. So the only person I think that he's missing right now is Jin, as we mentioned earlier. So, in the flash sideways, Locke is in a wheelchair. Desmond is watching him, and, you know, Locke's on the school campus where he's the substitute. Ben knocks on Desmond's window, and Desmond says, he's looking for a school for his son, Charlie. Of course, in the flash sideways, he doesn't have a son named Charlie, but he knows that he does in the original timeline. Anyway, he uses that as an excuse. And after Ben walks away, Desmond steps on the gas, slams into Locke, who flips over the top of the car and lands on the pavement, and Desmond keeps on driving. And so we talked a little bit about this, at the top of the show with Spivey here, but, yeah. Kind of weird. I mean, it makes you think that Desmond is just totally off his rocker. Like, but apparently he must have some plan. And I hope it's better than just, well, I'm trying to give him a near-death experience so that he'll, you know, have flashes of the island. Because, I mean, he could have killed Locke. I mean, it probably is a lot more likely that he would have killed Locke than, you know, to have, give him a near-death experience by running into him with the car like the way that he did. So, I don't know. Totally weird. In any case, that's pretty much how the episode ends. We've got, you know, Locke, obviously not dead, lying on the pavement and just shuddering and shivering and, just obviously in a state of shock. Oh, now this is an interesting comment. Kate Jack in the chat says, Locke is already with his true love, so he may be trying to kill him. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if that justifies Desmond trying to kill Locke, but that is an interesting point, though, that in this alternate timeline or this flash sideways, he is with Helen already. I mean, he's got what he wants, except, of course, for the use of his legs. But, yeah, that is kind of interesting. So who is it that Locke is supposed to connect with? I mean, if Desmond, presuming that Desmond is trying to get Locke to connect with somebody, you know, what exactly does Desmond think he's going to accomplish? I mean, you know, how is Locke now going to get connected with somebody from the island? I mean, he already has his true love, and all the cases so far have been Desmond, you know, or, well, have been the different people who've been on the island hooking up with the people that they loved in the original timeline. And so, yeah, that's a good point. I mean, this, I don't know. Oh gosh, this is a really cool theory. Also from K-Jack, that Locke did just push him down a well. And so maybe Desmond is kind of paying him back. Like maybe he was trying to kill him for, you know, although it wasn't actually Locke who pushed him down the well. Of course, as the Man in Black, he just looked like Locke. He has the appearance of Locke. So, but maybe Desmond doesn't know that, and he just remembers that someone who looked exactly like Locke pushed him down a well in the original timeline. Which I don't know, because that would be in the future from where they are. Because they're in 2004, you know, where we're seeing the flash sideways take place, and this is in 2007 where fake Locke pushes Desmond down the well. So I don't know whether the flashes that Desmond is experiencing are exclusive to things that have happened up to that point in 2004 in the original timeline, or if they're if they also would include things that happened in 2007. I guess they probably could, I don't know. I suppose we could go back and kind of analyze the flashes that we know people have had. No, they do cover the future too, from 2007, that is, because, Desmond had the flash of Not Penny's boat. That took place after, you know, whatever this is, days after the oceanic, you know, safe landing in LAX in the alternate timeline. This is like, what did Desmond say? Like a week or two later. And, of course it was much, much later than that when Charlie sacrificed himself and when there was the whole Not Penny's boat, you know, thing. And so Desmond was in that instance seeing a flash that took place in the future in the original timeline. So that is a good point. I mean, you know, that would seem to line up that maybe Desmond was trying to kill who he thought pushed him down a well. That's a really, really interesting theory. I like that. Now Kane has an interesting comment here too about, the true love thing. Do you think Locke loves the island more, meaning, you know, I guess more than Helen? And Kane says same thing for Ben. Ben loved the island more than anything, but Desmond is just getting the survivors together. Interesting thought on that too. Okay. So that pretty much brings us to the end of the episode. I'm going to go through, actually, does anybody else in the chat, first of all, have anything else about the episode they wanted to discuss before we discuss the preview? Yeah. Well, Kane makes an interesting point that, Desmond and Ben met in the school parking lot. And, that's kind of an interesting point. Now, of course, Ben wasn't on Oceanic Flight 815. And so I guess Desmond doesn't know that they should know each other. But yeah, and it's kind of the same thing with, like, you know, Ben has interacted with Locke in the, Flash Sideways timeline. But they weren't both on the plane. And so far, as far as we know, Ben and Locke and, Desmond and Ben have not had any sort of flashes or memories of each other. I don't know if it's exclusively the people who, were on Flight 815 who were capable. Well, no, I guess, let me, no, 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 cause no, I guess, I mean, Libby was on Oceanic Flight 815. That's true. Cause she was one of the tail section survivors. So, Yeah, I don't know. I guess it's possible that only the Flight 815 people are having these flashes of memory. You know, that brings up another interesting point though, because in this alternate timeline, if Libby, I mean, was Libby on Flight 815 in the Flash Sideways? Because if she has been in the Mental Health Institute, the doctor doesn't, you know, he probably would not be letting her fly on a plane, at least by herself. I mean, granted, she is self-admitted, but I don't know. I mean, well, I guess we don't know how long she's been there either. Perhaps she saw Hugo on the plane and didn't really make the connection right away, but then later saw the commercial and then made the connection and then checked herself into the Mental Health Institute. I mean, I guess we don't really have a clear timeline on when she checked herself in. But I wonder if she was on 815 in the Flash Sideways. All right. Well, let's go ahead and discuss the preview for, possibly next week's episode. But it could also possibly be several upcoming episodes. First of all, this was a really, really weird preview. There were a lot of really brief flashes, which, you know, in and of itself is not necessarily weird. That's actually kind of a common thing with these, preview, promo, videos. But there was this weird, okay, I'm pretty sure this was from Willy Wonka, right? Was this not Willy Wonka music going on throughout the clip? My wife was laughing and she goes, "That's Willy Wonka." I'm like, "Oh yeah, I think it might be." And, yeah, Kate Jack and Kane in the chat both agree that it was weird. And Kate, I think Kate Jack was agreeing. Yeah, Kate Jack and Kane both agree that it was definitely Willy Wonka music. So yeah, that was bizarre. And so this music is sort of playing throughout the whole preview, and there are shots of Jack, Claire, and Saeed. There's a shot of Locke, obviously from the, actually really Locke from the flash sideways, because he's all bandaged up, and on a, it looked like he may have been on a stretcher or something like that. And there's a shot of Kate looking back, behind herself with the backpack on. There's a perspective from above Desmond as he looks up out of the well, and there's a shot of people running through the jungle. Jack turns around towards the camera. And by the way, there's a lot of turning around toward the camera in this preview. So there are a lot of clips like that coming up apparently. But Jack turns around toward the camera. And then there's this really weird thing, like this alternating half of Locke's face on the left side of the screen. And then it alternates to that side of the screen being black, and now the other half of Claire's face is on the right side of the screen. It like flashes back and forth between their faces. And then that was the most bizarre thing of all. I mean, I can't imagine that that's actually going to be on the show like that. I don't know. That was just too weird. Unless that was in somebody's dream or something. But, and what does that mean? I mean, does it even mean anything? I mean, who knows? It's just a preview, but I mean, Kane, okay, that's an interesting theory from Kane that maybe it's setting up sides. I haven't thought of that. Huh. Setting up the sides. Light, dark, good, evil. Sane, insane? Yeah, that's a possibility too, I guess. Hurley turns toward the camera. Not surprisingly, it seems like everyone almost gets their chance to do that in the preview. Hurley turns toward the camera with Jack, Son, and Frank walking behind him. A woman who it looks like probably Zoe, although we only see her from behind, stands in front of the man in black, holding what looks like a walkie-talkie in her left hand, and there's a giant fireball explosion that's happening in the background, so this is like behind the man in black. And the man in black is totally unfazed. And Jack is running. Sawyer is coming out of the jungle. There's a shot panning down Saeed's chest to his hands holding a handgun. There are people that run by with guns, followed by a close-up on Claire. There's a close-up of Desmond, who turns toward the camera, looking up. And there's finally a shot of Saeed shooting a shotgun downward. I'm not sure if it was a shotgun, but anyway, it was a gun. He was shooting a gun downward. Looked like it could have been down into the well. And superimposed, kind of in between several of the last clips in the preview were the time is now, whatever that means. And there's a couple of YouTube videos that show this. So I'll put those in, and of course in the show notes if anyone wants to check those out. And I think that's going to do it for tonight. So thanks everybody for participating. It's a good show as always. Appreciate the comments in the chat. And, if you've got, anything you want to submit, you know, any, questions, theories, or anything like that, you can, send me an email, thelostmeister@gmail.com. Or you can leave me a voicemail. The voicemail number is 909-25-JOSH-M, short for Josh Meister. And let's see what else. You can follow me on Twitter, twitter.com/thejoshmeister. Make sure you spell it right. The Josh, M-E-I-S-T-E-R. And yeah, I think that'll about do it. I guess one other thing, there was something I thought about posting on my Lost blog earlier today. I had a chance tonight, earlier today to watch, Flashes Before Your Eyes. It was season 3, episode 8. And there's this interesting dialogue between Ms. Hawking and Desmond, where she basically tells Desmond that by coming to the island and pushing the button and turning the key in the failsafe in the hatch, he saved everybody from dying. And so if anyone has any interesting theories about what exactly she meant by that, by saving everyone from dying, email me, post a comment on the blog, thelostmeister.blogspot.com, or leave me a voicemail and let me know what your thoughts are on that little exercise if you want to before next episode. So until next time, stay lost and namaste. If you have a product or service that you'd like to market to thousands of Lost fans, find out how you can become a sponsor of this podcast. Send an email to thelostmeister@gmail.com.
Thanks for listening. Please check out the Josh Meister's Lost blog for links related to this podcast. The address again is thelostmeister, that's thelostmeister.blogspot.com. Thank you, and namaste.